The prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So thankful that you're spending your time with us. You could be doing a million other things, but I want to thank you so much for tuning into our show. We've got a great hour planned for you. Really, two of my favorite people, Terry McCarthy and Brittany Pettibone. You know them separately. I believe this is their first time together. They have a radio, or a, I'm sorry, a radio, a broadcast, Virtue of the West. If you go to HagmanReport.com, check the program description. All the links are there. But, two of my favorite citizen journalists, citizen researchers, very effective at what they do. Again, Terry McCarthy, known as, you'll know her from Reality Calls, and Brittany Pettibone, the other half of the Pettibone, or one of the Pettibone sisters, and a great fiction author, a great author. And of course, all the links are right there in our program description. I have to excuse me. I think I'm losing my voice again, but what are you going to do? Porch Tonight's broadcast brought to you by Policy Genius. It's policygenius.com. Let me spell that for you. P-O-L-I-C-Y Genius, G-E-N-I-U-S.com, policygenius.com. You're looking for life insurance, don't have it, that's the place to go. policygenius.com. More on that later. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's get things rocking.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, and we're going to be continuing to get into what we've been getting into the last few nights, the Pizzagate investigation, and a few other things with Tara McCarthy and Brittany Pettibone. Their podcast, Virtues of the West, is available at tspettibone.com. Brittany, Tara, welcome.
Thank you.
So we've got half the globe, half the planet covered. Tara, you're in London right now.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's late or early. And of course, Brittany, you're on the West Coast, so it's
not bad. It's only four.
Okay. So, yeah. Wow. Well, it's great to have you both. Who wants to start first and tell us about your broadcast, Virtue of the West? I think that let our audience know what you're doing and kind of how this came about and what to expect, because I have seen it, of course, on YouTube, and I think it's just fantastic. So who wants to start? Who wants to field that one?
You want to kick it off, Tara?
Oh, I think you're better explaining.
Okay, well, so we got into it. Tara has a show called Reality Calls, and she actually had me on the show for an interview. And by the end of it, we kind of decided that we wanted to launch something, some kind of show based around, you know, more traditionalism, like traditional values. But it's very broad, so we'll talk about a lot of things ranging from like traditional values to like Islam. Like we had Tommy Robinson on and we talked about Islam, or Lauren Southern, and we talked about like, you know, anti-feminism, and you know, a more traditional role for like women, just things like that. So we have a range of guests, but from all across the right wing. So, many different people, you know, from, across the right wing that we have on. So we have a whole long list of people that we're going to have on, and we've been having a great time so far. That's pretty much how it came to be. But we just did it on a whim, and it's been going great so far, though.
Okay. Now, Tara, if I can ask you this question. When you get into subjects like Islam, for example, based on your physical location and the laws of your country, how do you work that out? Balance that? You know, how
you just have to be very careful about how you say things, and I know there are certain things I can't say. Obviously, won't say those. But then again, there's a lot of ambiguity about what some things maybe you can kind of get away with saying. So it's quite frustrating. But generally speaking, at the moment, it's great because I just, you know, the guests say it all.
Gotcha. So you've got that level of insulation. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe what's happening in the UK or what has happened in the UK, it could very well happen in the United States when we talk about Islam and untouchable subjects. My goodness. Okay. But it's, so when, where can people see it? When can people see it? How, what's the frequency of your program?
At this point, we're dropping a new podcast once a week, every Tuesday, and you can get it on iTunes or SoundCloud for audio, and then you can go to our YouTube channels. Tara has one, and then I have one as well, where we post the same videos. We just have our own channels, and we actually have video of them as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's fantastic. I'm glad you two have come together, and together you're, well, independently you're a formidable force, but together I believe both of you can move mountains, I'll tell you that, so, and get to the truth of things. Speaking of truth, what's going on with the situation with Pedigate? We spoke with Sean from SGT Report yesterday. We had Angela on 2 days in a row. First day we had her on, we introduced her to our audience, and then right after that, her Twitter account was suspended. She was known as Pizzagate Angela, and of course they suspended her, or completely blew out her Twitter account. So we had her on again yesterday, and we had Sean from SGT Report. So where do we find ourselves? Where do you find your researcher? Where are you at with respect to Pizzagate, larger Pedogate, and things of that nature, to whoever wants to take that question?
Well, obviously, the great thing is that Trump has come out publicly. He said that he's vowing to fight the epidemic of human trafficking. And what a lot of people don't realize, when they hear the word human trafficking, they don't really think about the people behind that. And the majority of people behind the term human trafficking are women and children being prostituted against their will, so being turned into sex slaves. So that is what human trafficking is most of the time. And Trump has specifically said that he's going to crack down on this, and he has been doing so. We've seen unprecedented numbers of crackdowns across the U.S. So this is really good news. And also, a lot of people don't realize, but when you tighten up border control, you're also, in a sense, deterring human trafficking, because a lot of these kids being shipped in from places like Haiti or South America, where, you know, they're not really going to be missed so much, because obviously the law enforcement just isn't so good, you know.
That's a great point, by the way. Border enforcement does have the collateral effect of controlling or affecting, adversely affecting, human trafficking to some extent. And that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
And if I can ask, to continue off the point you made, why do you believe that the human trafficking and the trafficking rings, the amount of arrests that we've seen in the short space of time in the last 3 months, it's over 1,500, I believe, or more. We just went over the numbers, I think, last week. But do you think this is something to do with Trump being in office? Do you think this is something to do with people becoming more aware of the problem and looking to go after it? Or what would you guys say is the reason for that?
Yes, absolutely. I think Trump is making this a priority. And like you said, there's been over 1,500 in the past 4 weeks, I think it's been. And in, like, for example, in 2014, there were less than 400 sex trafficking related arrests in the entire year. So something big is going on. There is an actual movement. It's very deliberate, you know, going after, bringing down pedophile rings all across the U.S. You have them, there was one in L.A., there was one in Tennessee, Texas. They've been all over. So you just, yeah, you have to think that something is going on. Definitely. I think it has to be Trump.
All right. Well, Brittany, are we seeing, and could it be domestically, we are seeing, the natural progression of the investigation of the 650,000 emails by the NYPD task force, where Anthony Weiner, of course, was the focus of that investigation. So are you saying that we're kind of seeing perhaps some collateral effects from that investigation?
I would actually say that very well may could be. I mean, of course, I can't say 100%, but I would actually bet on that, actually, that Anthony Weiner has, his laptop has informed a lot of these things going down, because as soon as that was, you know, they got a hold of that, a lot of these things, you know, have been happening right after. I know there was a big pedophile bust, like, right after. This was several weeks ago. But this is something I've been kind of actually thinking about and speaking about with some people I know, about this whole, you know, people call it Pizzagate, and then Pedogate is, you know, more of an international, like, global sex trafficking. You know, we were questioning, okay, why is it that there are so many people in positions of power that potentially have, you know, inclination toward pedophilia? Why? It's just kind of weird that all of them, or so many of them, would have that inclination. So we were kind of, you know, talking about it, and something, a kind of theory that we've devised is that maybe it's more of like a global blackmail ring. It's more of like a behavioral platform being used to compromise people of power and influence, you know, so that you can get them to do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to get them to do. You know, so let's say you were like a powerful lobbyist in D.C. You could use this to get people, you know, in compromising positions, so you could be more effective in like lobbying the government to get laws passed, you know, that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. Or, I mean, you could even have control this way over other world leaders, and exposing it could bring down, you know, people at the highest echelons of power and influence here. So I just think that that's more likely than all of these people just happen to having, you know, an inclination towards pedophilia and child sex trafficking. But, you know, you never know.
Let me ask this. Wow. This hypothetical. Because I've been wondering this the last few days. If it was a blackmail ring, let's say a leader of a foreign country was caught up in this, and would it be effective, we'll say, if they did have a foreign leader of another nation in a compromising position to release a video you know, of an indecent act between them and a child? Or would people now, would it be ineffective now because people are so familiar with this case, and a lot of people believe that it is a blackmail ring? Would they be able to effectively release
a video? Does exposure erode the effectiveness?
That's interesting, because I wonder if a lot of the normalization of pedophilia that we're seeing, and we're seeing it across the Western world, we're seeing politicians saying, well, like in the UK, actually, we just had, Sky News, low-risk pedophiles should not be locked up, police chief says. You know, so they're now saying, oh, very low-risk pedophiles, you know, even if they commit a crime such as trading child pornography, we don't need to lock them up, they're fine. So it's like they're slowly kind of saying, it's okay, this is fine. And it does make you wonder, maybe it's because the police chief or some other political people are pedophiles, and they're worried about being exposed, so they want it to become normalized before that happens.
Interesting.
And something actually that might help normalize it is also, you know, importing all this Islam, because pedophilia is normal in their, you know, religion, ideology, whatever you want to call it. You know, they can be with children, just as long as they like reach puberty. So like age 9, you know, even they can be with children. That to us is pedophilia, but to them it's normal. So.
Wow. That's an interesting take on this.
And there was an article on Drudge I saw today. Islam set to overtake Christianity by 2050 or something like that, or by the end of the century. I couldn't remember what it was, but that's exactly, I think both of you make good points, specifically with Islam. Because they allow this to be part of their culture, and it is normal. And we see, you know, as you said, the normalization of the pedophilia and pedophilia type behavior. And you mentioned a police chief in the UK. I don't know how many of you saw, was it Chris Cuomo from CNN? was just caught up in a little Twitter controversy saying if you don't like your young daughter to see male genitalia in a locker room, you have a tolerance problem, and your daughter is the problem, and you're not tolerant enough to teach her the right way. I mean, we see all the in the Vatican, too. The Pope just recently reduced the sentences of a number of priests who were involved in pedophilia and pedophilia scandals, and said they deserve mercy and they should have a punishment of prayer.
Right.
And it's very weird to see it across the board, from newscasters to police officers to the Pope. All of them are acting like they want to normalize the pedophilia. It's very concerning. No question.
Yeah. And this is something that, and I'm going to just ask for both of your opinions. Tara first, I suppose, because of the somewhat cultural differences between the United States and the UK, or Europe, I should say, to be more accurate, in the UK. Okay, my question is kind of a broad one. We have been focusing on this topic of investigation really hard lately, very intensely lately, because it seems to be not just a cultural issue, but Brittany, as you mentioned, could very well be involved in blackmail, bribe, compromise, corruption, whatever it might be. It could be a tool. But Tara, is this a big deal over in Europe, or not? I guess that was one of my questions of several.
Okay, the crazy thing is that we have our former Prime Minister Ted Heath, Edward Heath, who's been linked. I think it's by a policeman came out and said basically that he believes that he's linked to a murderous paedophile ring that killed 16 kids. Okay, and this is stuff that's being reported in absolute mainstream media. The weirdest part is no one talks about it. Like, it's just like a non-issue. That's just kind of like quietly disclosed in the media, like it's their duty to disclose it kind of thing. But this is insane. I mean, he's a former prime minister. This is like the most powerful man in the country. Was involved in a sex cult and linked to murdering children as part of it.
Wow. And it's kind of acknowledged, but not, there's no focus.
No outrage, yeah. It's,
no outrage.
It's just kind of like no response, really. You don't really see anyone. And the other strange thing is that there have been people, such as someone who was previously viewed as a wild conspiracy theorist, David Icke, who is a British man, who has been trying to warn of this for over 20 years, and Jimmy Savile, and Edward Heath. And he's been trying to warn of this, but no one believed him. He was totally ridiculed all over the mainstream media for decades. Like, he was just always the person that everyone pointed at and laughed at, basically. And now what he said about these men being pedophiles, it looks like it's absolutely true.
Oh, okay.
But we saw the same thing with Andrew Breitbart. You know, with him, what he said in his Twitter,
February 11th,
exposing John Podesta, you know, saying that how John Podesta isn't a household name for child sex trafficking is beyond me, or something like that.
February 4th, 2011, in his infamous Twitter tweet about Podesta being this progressive
monster. And I have a question about the why we don't see this in the news. Do you believe that it is just a unspoken rule in the news agencies, or do you think this is more of editorial controls?
Oh yeah, we got some boy, buckle in, because we got some questions about this too. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, do you think it's individual stations' editorial controls, or is this more of a widespread don't go there zone?
I think it's a widespread don't go there zone, unless of course it fits their narrative and helps move it forward. Like you saw with Milo Yiannopoulos, how you know, those remarks about pedophilia that he made that were inappropriate, how the whole entire mainstream media was talking about it, and suddenly the left all cared about pedophilia. It was the closest thing to their hearts, you know, bringing it down, and it was horrible. You know, even Jake Tapper was, like, decrying it as, you know, this horrible crime, which it is, of course. But then when someone on the left is potentially tied to this, they don't seem to care. Or it's a bizarre conspiracy theory, and it couldn't possibly be true. They won't even interrogate the, you know, the information that is put forth about it. So it's just interesting that to compare that, their reaction to to people who are on their side that could potentially be involved, or people who are on the right, then they'll go after them. So, if
what I'm hearing, what Brittany's saying, or what Tara had said in the UK, in Europe, it's there, but not a whole lot of outrage. And Brittany, same thing, but not a lot of outrage on the progressive side. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are, you know, with average citizens and even leftists, you know, there are a lot of leftists I know that are involved in Pizzagate and that are helping to investigate just because they genuinely believe that there's something to be found there. So, but I'm talking like mainstream media.
Right.
They have all just, you know, sliced it down as, you know, a complete conspiracy theory without even looking at any of the information and evidence that has been brought forward. So.
Okay. Well, Brittany, now I'll ask you this. In the triage of news headlines, where does Pizzagate, Pettigate fall when we compare it to things like the Islamic infiltration and terrorist attacks, or the border that's tied to the same, or any number of other issues? Where does that fall in terms of importance, at least by your perception here in America and worldwide?
I think it's one of the absolute most important, because, I mean, we have suspicions that this is a global network. And if it is, this could bring down the highest ranking people in the world, some of them. So I think that is pretty important. It's one of the most, it'll affect many governments, perhaps, including our own. And I think it's one of the most important, alongside, of course, I think immigration is huge. But this is probably bigger.
Well, Tara, do you agree with that assessment from your vantage point in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, like Brittany says, it's really a global thing. I don't even look at it as a separate issue at all. It's like the same things happening in Australia. I have people messaging me from Norway. I have people messaging me from Sweden, and just about every developed country, basically. I have people contacting me and saying, this exact thing happened. It's, you know, not only that, one of the things that the police use, and I'm sure you're aware of this kind of method, is, you know, these matching stories coming from different people, different areas, and it's like people can't just spontaneously make this stuff up and then it all kind of match from one place to another. It seems like it's all connected.
And we certainly agree, 100%. Have either one of you, and we've got about a minute to the break, have either one of you experienced any kind of disruption to your social networking, be it, well, regardless of your platform, because of your discussion of this?
I've actually pulled back from tweeting about too much Pizzagate because I know that my account will just be suspended. So I generally tweet things when there are like pedophile busts, like actually verified and substantiated busts, then I'll always tweet about those. Or, you know, in ongoing investigations, things like that. But actually my GoFundMe was shut down. I started one for $400 to help fund the podcast that Tara and I were starting. And I was banned from the service. And, I found out later that, I think he was the owner of GoFundMe. He actually tweeted about the Comet Ping Pong GoFundMe. He personally tweeted about it. You know, they had a whole GoFundMe campaign for Comet Ping Pong. she personally tweeted about that and was like, you know, donate to this. So I felt like maybe, I can't say for sure, but it could have been kind of revenge there because I was doing so much in Pizzagate. And there were a couple of mainstream media articles they wrote about me too, you know, calling me a white nationalist and then also saying that, you know, making fun of me for being a Pizzagate researcher. So I think I had something to do there. It just kind of felt like it was connected, so.
Understood. Tara, have you been experiencing any kind of harassment or molestation?
Well, the one thing I'm really concerned about with social media at the moment is Twitter has spent the past 2 weeks introducing what I consider to be like stifling crackdowns. Basically, what they're doing is they're preventing. I can only talk about my own experience of those who shared their experience with me, but it seems that they are preventing about 50%, sometimes more, of people's replies being viewed by me. So I can't even interact with my audience, which is kind of the point of social media. So it's really, and now they're actually saying over the next week, they're rolling out even more. And it's all done by like algorithm and keywords and targeting.
Yeah, there's an article today on Yahoo News that talked about Twitter on Wednesday launched a wider effort to use algorithms to identify accounts as potentially engaging in abusive behavior. Twitter, like Facebook, have long relied on users to report abuse, but now they're using technology through algorithms specifically for accounts and flagging its content by this technological advancement. And I'll post this to our website, the Hagman Report. But yeah, it is definitely very intrusive and concerning because computers obviously can't put things into the proper context. So it looks like they're going after certain words or phrases. Folks, we're talking with Brittany Pettibone and Tara from Reality Calls, and we'll be right back with them after this short break. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by by blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, very special guest, Tara McCarthy. You know her from Reality Calls, Brittany Pettibone. You know her from, well, she's an author, Hatred Day series, fiction author. Both excellent citizen journalists and researchers. Together, they have a weekly broadcast podcast, Virtue of the West, and I would urge everyone to support them. Seriously. Of course, the last time they had a GoFundMe account that was unceremoniously taken down. It's interesting how the censorship does work. They are, in fact, deserving of our support. Before we get back to our guests, I had mentioned earlier about policygenius.com. You know something, life insurance, that's been on my mind lately. Gee whiz, considering some of the topics that we talk about, I guess that would be. Well, let me ask you folks, do you have life insurance? If you don't, why not? Is it too expensive, or is it, do you consider it a hassle? If you don't have life insurance, what would happen to your family financially if something happened to the primary earner of your family, if that was you? Well, life insurance is a good idea to protect the ones around you, but where do you go for the best prices, the best policy, with the best service? We have that place. Here it is. PolicyGenius.com. It's the best online life insurance marketplace on the planet. They have the most accurate quotes from the top A-rated life insurance companies. PolicyGenius has placed over a couple of billion dollars in life insurance for people just like you and me. They've got a really simple user interface. It's friendly. I've used it. I've checked rates, compared rates. This is the easiest thing to do. Guys, let me tell you, this is easy and as responsible as conservatives, as Christian conservatives. This is responsible. This is the responsible thing for you to do. And while you're there at policygenius.com, you got to check out their other insurance offerings, including pet insurance. That's right, lady, the studio dog. Let me ask you, lady, are you well insured? She's just over there snoring, actually. health insurance, the other insurance products. Folks, go to policygenius.com today and save over 40%. That's right, 40% off of other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you win. You save money. That's Policy Genius, P-O-L-I-C-Y, Genius, G-E-N-I-U-S.com. PolicyGenius.com. No complex language, no sales pressure, no hassle. It's all there for you. PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com. It's linked off of HagmanReport.com.
And we're talking with Tara McCarthy and Brittany Pettibone. Go to tspettibone.com and bookmark that site there. You can get access to their podcast, Virtue of the West, as well as all the other information that
Absolutely.
They have been putting together there.
There are four episodes in the can, recorded, done. They're good together, too. You got to watch. They're good together. So, and they've got some exciting people coming up. So, just to be clear, Brittany, I'll ask you this. For people to support your broadcast so you can keep going, because it's expensive, where can people go to help?
Tara and I actually have separate ones. So if you just go for mine, if you go to tspettibone.com, I have a Virtue of the West page with, you know, all the information about supporting, and then also my book there, Hatred Day, that I co-wrote with my twin sister. So either or, whichever you're interested in, would be wonderful. And then Tara has reality, realitycalls.com, or is it Reality Calls Show?
realitycallsshow.com/donate is where my links are.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, we do urge people to support you. I mean, you guys are doing phenomenal work. Tara, I'll go to you first. What is there anything new that we, or anything most important about Pizzagate, and we can move on from this topic, but or the pedogate, aside from what we've already spoken about, and aside from the censorship, is there anything more that we should be looking at? What at this point, given the fact that we're really about a quarter of the way. This is March 1st, so we got two full months in the can. This is March 1st, so but given the time here, it seems like we've had a lot of time since the initial exposure to the emails and to this scandal. But having said that, what should we be looking at this point or focusing on with respect to Pedigate, Pizzagate, if anything, if we, you know, that we haven't already touched?
Right. So obviously a lot of people ask me this, and the unfortunate thing is that, obviously, although people have only recently become aware of this kind of thing, it's been going on for decades. I believe it's deeply entrenched in a lot of the institutions across the world. I'm talking about the police force. I'm talking about the secret services. I'm talking about the military, unfortunately, you know, all over the place. The rot goes deep and it goes everywhere. So unfortunately, and I know this is really horrible to have to contemplate, but because we know that there are children actively being harmed, and obviously we want it to end as soon as possible, but the reality of the situation is that it's probably going to take some time. Even if, you know, Trump's people are working 24/7 on this, it's going to take some time, and I don't imagine it can all be fixed in 1 year. I think it's probably going to take a bit longer than that, and it's going to take some serious strategy and very intelligent and dedicated people to make it happen in the government.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and then obviously we have individuals as well, and all we can really do is try to tell our friends and family, like, look, this is happening. Look at the article. This has happened. This has happened in Toronto. You know, there are hundreds of people arrested. I think it was a couple hundred children also taken out of a paedophile ring. This is what's happening in England. You know, this is what's happened in Australia. This does happen, and I believe it's happening in this country too, and we need to take it seriously.
Okay. I totally understand that. And that's good. And I think people are just kind of waking up to this, a larger segment, I suppose, on a global level are waking up to this. Brittany, from a domestic perspective here in the United States, or even North America, just saw James Woods send out a Twitter or a tweet here recently about Podesta. That was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That was in the last week or two.
Yeah.
There's been a few he's put out.
Yeah, but go ahead.
You know, something kind of to touch on what Tara said, how difficult it's going to be to bring down. I would agree, also because I think it would almost be like a domino effect. Like it's, you know, you pull this little thread and so much is going to unravel. It's not like you just bring one person down. I feel like, because, you know, if it's true that this is more of like a blackmail ring, everyone has dirt probably on everyone, you know, in order, they do this to kind of like keep control over one another so no one gets out of line. It's, you know, would be a very effective way to keep control over people. But I think that, you know, whoever actually is pedophiles, I'm sure they know who else is a pedophile. I'm sure they have that information and maybe, you know, evidence of it. So it would be a huge mess, you know, and it would almost have to be, it would take a really long time and be very sensitive. So maybe the reason we're not seeing them just jump on it right away and exposing everything is because they're trying to develop a strategy here. I think, and we've also seen kind of with, how Julian Assange releases things, he seems to do it, very, you know, he does it at the right time. He doesn't just release it all. He releases certain things at specific times. So I think that it also could be maybe a plan they're trying to unravel here. So we'll see, rather than just jumping on it all. So I think that they're aware in our government, you know, like Jeff Sessions and stuff away is far more aware than we are of what's really going on. And maybe he, you know, hopefully he has a plan to combat it.
Well, I hope so. What do you both think so far of President Donald Trump's performance to date? Brittany, since you're in the States, I'll ask you first. You like what you're seeing so far? Any objections or any concerns?
I actually really like what I'm seeing so far. The thing is, it's only been, you know, he hasn't been in office that long, but he's already getting so much done. And I think that there are so many problems with our country that everyone's expecting him to just get it all done, you know, like fix this and this and this and this. And I mean, he's trying his best and he is getting a lot done, but we just have to give him time because there's so much he has to fix. It's just been, you know, that was kind of destroyed by Obama and, you know, through the Democrats. So like he's trying his best, but he's kind of fighting the entire world here. Every move he makes is criticized by the leftists. They just rip him apart for, like, even every tweet he does, even if it's not necessarily anything, if there's nothing wrong with it, they'll just find something wrong with it. So he's just meeting this intense, you know, resistance from the left at every turn. So I think that, yeah, he is doing very well.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. And you're on the left coast. It's okay, though. But Tara, your perception from the UK, or the perception of those within the UK and in Europe, what are you seeing with respect to Donald Trump's presidency?
Well, of course, we're still having a lot of people who are outraged about Donald Trump. You know, they like protesting the fact that was planning to visit the UK, but he's now sort of postpone the visit because he wants the like animosity to die down before the visit takes place, which is fair enough. He does seem like a very strategic and aware person. You know, he's not only intellectually intelligent, but he's also kind of very socially aware and very good at getting people on his side. And I think you see that in the CNN poll results, which I saw online, showing that he's got the majority support right now. So that's really amazing. And I think that he knows that he can get a lot more done if he has the majority of support. So it's really great that he's won people over on the left as well.
And Tara, while we're talking about politics, any thoughts on the upcoming French election?
Well, of course, I'm hoping that Marine Le Pen wins. It looks like she's in the lead at the moment because her competitor has been exposed for corruption, allegedly. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that she does win. I mean, I remember, I think over the past, like, 10 years, I've kind of seen her, like, demonized over and over again. Like, every election season, she gets demonized. And it's so funny, you know, it's so funny because they're always going on about, like, with Hillary Clinton, it's always like, the first woman, you know. And, but when the person's on the right, suddenly it doesn't matter if they're female anymore. They're still a Nazi.
Yeah.
A follow-up question, I'll ask Brittany this first. The populism movement that it's been labeled populism movement, of awake people and people who are sick of just the constant liberal agenda from immigration to a lot of the socialist programs. Do you believe that the populist movement will continue to have influence over election in the Western countries?
Absolutely. I think that something has started here, you know, so like with Brexit, then with Donald Trump getting elected, then hopefully Marine Le Pen will get elected, or will Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. I mean, it's spreading. A lot of people are waking up, you know, at the same time. And yeah, I think they're great. A lot of people see that if they don't stand up now, they're going to very well might lose their countries, like France to Islam. you know, if Marine Le Pen is not elected, there's a good chance they're going to lose France. And I think that citizens are finally seeing this. But then, you know, then again, there are so many that are just still even afraid to speak out because of the social repercussions, or, you know, they'll be jailed for, you know, saying the wrong thing. Like in Sweden, I know there are so many people that are afraid, but they just won't even say anything because of the repercussions. So, I mean, it's just, they have to make that decision though. You know, put the fear aside and stand up. Because it might even be too late in some areas, but if they don't now, this is the chance. Then they're going to lose their countries and become the minority in them. So, yeah, we'll see.
Wow. All right.
And Tara, from your viewpoint, the populist movement that we see, is it as prevalent? I know that the media does a lot of suppression, but are you seeing this over in Europe and in the UK?
Yes, we are. And actually, I'll tell you that despite what you see on the streets, despite what you see in the mainstream media, when you look at actual polls done by big polling companies, it shows that the majority of people in the UK approve of Trump's visit here. And it also shows that the majority of the people in the UK and in several other European countries want a Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the majority, that's what the majority of people want. But all you'll see all day long in all of our mainstream media is how terrible this is and how unbelievable it is, and rants and rants and raves and rants. And it's absolutely not representative of what most people want.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's propaganda. They're showing you the perception of reality. So what they want you to see. And it's not at all true. Like, if you were on Twitter during the day when, you know, Trump's Muslim ban, it wasn't a Muslim ban, but, you know, you wanted that to go through, everyone was losing their minds and there were like protests. You'd think that that 99% of people were against it, but actually there were more in favor. So it's just the picture they try to paint. You always have to question that because it's rarely true.
In turn, I'm going to ask you just a follow-up question. Do you guys get the paid protesters like we've been seeing over here, or are, I don't know, I haven't been paying too much attention, but I know that, you know, people take to the streets quite often there, more so than here, except after this last election. But we've seen a lot of, you know, even the immigration protests at the airport, to the anti-Trump protests after the inauguration, and all over the country, people are being paid to protest. Do you guys see that there?
You know, I can't confirm if these people are paid or not. But I can definitely say that it's just the same people. You know, we call them social justice warriors. It's just the same people. Those people with blonde hair and wacky glasses on, you know, they're the same ones who just go out on, protests. It's like a night out for them. They get an adrenaline rush out of it. And this is their idea of fun, basically. So they'll go and hold a different sign. You know, they're now actually, I've even seen people, using like a dry erase marker so they can just wipe it off the sign and then write a new note there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what to call this. There should be a name for it. It's a bit crazy.
Yeah, there should be a name.
That's handy.
Okay. Wow. That should be a standard, in a standard protester's kit here in America, and the paid protesters, a dry erase board so you can switch your message up to.
Brittany, if that kind of segues into my question for Brittany, have you been kind of keeping your eye on the organizing for action, on the various other groups, the social groups, the fascist groups, anti-fascist groups that are.
Yes.
What's going on here? What have you found? Because I can tell you what we found, but really, what have you found that's...
Well, I just think that particularly Antifa or, you know, the anti-fascists are concerning because they're at the point now where they're threatening violence, rape, you know, against just average right-wing or Trump supporters, you know, and calling them Nazis just for basically being a Trump supporter. But they were the ones that you saw at, like, the UC Berkeley protests that got way out of hand with, like, where they were beating people, you know, someone almost died, pepper spraying girls, you know. They're the violent ones behind this. And they were the ones on Inauguration Day as well. And I do think a lot of it is paid. I think George Soros is behind a lot of it. So, yeah, we'll see, though. But, I mean, in a way, because a lot of people have been talking about Antifa for a while,
right,
but they didn't really go mainstream. There was not a mainstream awareness of them until like UC Berkeley or, you know, the inauguration riots. So in a sense, then maybe that would, if there is a positive in that, it was that now the entire country is basically aware of them and the threat. Even, you know, Trump tweeted about them. So,
okay. So now, do you expect, because I'm concerned about an American spring, like an Arab spring. Brittany, do you expect to see a rocky kind of violent, maybe 70-ish, not that you'd remember 1970, Kent State kind of environment forming here?
Yeah, it may be inevitable. I mean, it seemed like there was a point where if you were on the left or the right, you could still be friends. Now, it's like pure hatred. The left hates us. It's like they haven't lost in so long or something. I think Trump just completely derailed everything they were, you know, betting on. So they cannot take it, this loss. And they hate us more every day. And we just have to acknowledge that. We have to admit that it's happening and, you know, come face to face with that, because they get more and more vitriolic and hateful towards us every day. And I can absolutely see it culminating in violence. Absolutely. So, you know, we'll see. Because, I mean, so far the right has been largely very tolerant, and many of these hate crimes that have happened have been, you know, most of them have been hoaxes. We've seen so many, you know, people just making up things. So I don't know. I would say that we should anticipate some kind of violence in the future, but hopefully not.
Hopefully
I just
not.
At least yeah. be prepared for it, I would say, would be wise.
Okay. It's interesting, Brittany, I got to tell you, we have a whole bunch of emails here wanting to know, well, congratulating you on the great reviews on Hatred Day series on your book Hatred Day Volume 1 that on Amazon. Congratulations. And then Tara, we were getting a bunch of, I have a bunch of emails here. A number from the UK not wanting you to leave the UK, and a bunch of people from the United States asking when you're coming to the United States.
Yeah, well, it's been difficult for, obviously for me and my fiancé to decide, like, where we're going to settle down. And the reason we chose the US is simply because of the freedom of speech and the gun laws as well, because, you know, we think that those are really important. However, you know, we also really love Europe, so we would like to live in Europe. It's just that it's not practical at the moment with the very tyrannical authoritarian left, you know.
Gotcha. And Tara, we do have someone actually from London, Ontario, not the UK, wanting your thoughts based on your position, your geographical location. How close do you see, well, I guess I can rephrase this, the election of US President Donald Trump and the New World Order objectives. Just to be clear, emailer wants to know if you feel, of course, and I do suspect you will, that the election of Donald Trump certainly threw a monkey wrench into the plans of the globalist One World Order, despite perhaps the perception over in Europe and despite perhaps the agenda of the Europeans, right? I mean, it's... I guess this emailer is saying...
Oh, you mean with the European Union?
Yes.
Like, is it going to disrupt that as well?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people have been speculating this, because obviously the UK, like a few months before Trump was voted in, we actually won Brexit. So, if I remember correctly, it was a few months, I'm not sure. But... So, and obviously Brexit was a slap in the face to the globalists, because obviously their plan is to have, like, the United States of Europe, because they want to consolidate countries. You know, they want us to lose our sovereignty. They want us to have these overlords who we don't even vote for, basically. It's ridiculous. I can't believe anyone would want this. And And yeah, so Brexit's been a slap in the face. Obviously, Nigel Farage and Donald Trump have obviously been talking a lot. And Nigel Farage is the one who for the past 20 years has been campaigning for Brexit and finally came through for him. And like without Nigel Farage, we wouldn't have had Brexit probably, because he's the only one who really campaigned for this. And yeah, they're obviously working together. I mean, they're having dinner together. That's quite obvious. And the other thing is that for the European people, if they see that, like, for example, nationalism is working in the US and it's working for the UK, then perhaps they'll feel a little bit braver to say, well, look, why can't we do that as well? And actually, I think the US will still give us favorable trade policies. You know, they're not going to ostracize us and prevent us from trading with the largest economy in the world, which is the United States. But with Trump at the helm, they're not going to do that. So that's, yeah, it's definitely feels very encouraging for Europeans, for the Europeans who want sovereign nations to see Donald Trump getting elected.
Guys, we only have about a minute left. We're talking with Brittany Pettibone and Tara McCarthy. Can you guys give out where to find you, your information on your podcast, and anything you want to promote upcoming?
Yeah, and really quick though, I just want to add before that, for anyone who's interested in like the latest information on Pizzagate, Pedogate, I've been informed that Vote.co has largely been compromised by like misinformation trolls, so you should check out Steam It instead. It's STEEMIT. Check out that if you're interested in the information. And then for me, you can just check out tspettibone.com. My YouTube channel is Brittany Pettibone, and my Twitter is @BrittPettibone.
You guys won't be sorry, folks. Tara, thank you. Brittany, thank you. Both intrepid investigators, great broadcasters, podcasters. Thank you for everything you do. Really.
Thank you, guys,
for having us.
I'll tell you what, we're going to be tuned in to your podcast, and certainly we will let everyone know. We're going to promote the heck out of what you do, because you've got you're both very talented, and we really appreciate your efforts. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime. Thank
you. Josh Kaplan from VesselNews.io coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable. It's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits that we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.